Welcome to Awake versus Aware, which is a presentation that aims to break the illusions of current events, offer tangible solutions, and prompts the listener to keep their hand off the mind break.
Welcome to the Awake versus Aware presentation, taped on February 11th, 2026. This will be a fun roundtable. We got Kalius here, Sanji, and Link, previous guests on our Rumble channel on the Cosmic Reality radio station. So we passed an hour now. Any topic you guys want to get into? I mean, we can go into anything.
I got my guitar tuned. I got to play something eventually, not at this moment, but I'll figure out something, or we could talk about that later on.
And how's your dad been doing? I have a not so much a spooky two-scalar machine, but a cell phone app version of that. People can look at the Cosmic Reality Rumble.com channel and look up the Awake versus Aware interview with Karen McDonald. I have that application, and I've been able to apply cell and tissue regeneration supplements and turn them into sound and frequencies and send them to people long distance through the Genius Biofeedback app. So you look up her name, Karen McDonald, on YouTube, on Facebook. It's crazy. Like, because the Spooky 2 and the BCX, they cost thousands of dollars. I think Spooky 2 is like $2,000 plus, and then BCX is like $3,000.
I've seen the Spooky 2.
Yeah, which is great. But if you could do something more and make your own stuff, which is the Genius Biofeedback, you need to get like a plate at Etsy, and then you put the supplement on the plate, connect it to your phone, and it transfers the energy or frequency of the supplement into the cell phone app. And
Genius Insight Biofeedback.
That's it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a few different YouTube channels on training, but to me, the most public, person to advertise and expose and talk about it is Karen McDonald, and she's into some pretty wild stuff, conspiratorial. But when it comes to the healing, she's like registered nurse and knows people all around the world. And yeah, so I've been able to help all sorts of people around you know, wherever, trying to help a cat. But then the owners went back to synthetic stuff, and then the cat passed away. But while I was working on the cat, you know, the tumor had gone away, and the cat was getting better. So
wondering. Yeah. What you were using.
Yeah, how's your dad doing?
He's doing good. So he was feeling like inflamed, I guess you could say. The nurse came by, they got him some more antibiotics, but he won't drink water like most humans. I mean, all I drink is water. If you handed me anything else, I just wouldn't drink it. I'd rather go without. But I bought 50 waters. I got him a cooler full of water and ice right beside him to try to encourage that. And he wants water too, so he's getting along with it, I think.
Well, yeah, as long as he's getting better, that's good. One of the things I converted, I do rep the company, but their history is pretty good. New Extracts, NUXTRAX.com/HRQ. And they gathered all of the cell tissue regeneration type of plants around the world and put them together in this one formula in the frequency patch, or you could have it in liquid form to spray. And people who've had car accidents who couldn't walk were able to walk. And they have a whole testimony page on Facebook, so people can read that. That's one of the top ones I recommend, and that I've been using, like, personally, and been doing fine. Link, any music stuff you want to play?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear my TV.
I wonder if you could turn down the background sound a little bit.
Yeah, I was asking if you could hear it. Yeah. See, I can turn that back down.
Thank you. Yeah, if you want to give us a guitar thing here, or should we give you more time?
No, I'm good here.
Yeah, bust it out.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to take one of my headphones out just so I can hear a little bit better. It's like having earplugs in. I got my nylon guitar here. I'm just going to go with it. Some sort of desert progression. Not really anything written, just the improvisation. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Thank you. That's great.
All right. I don't know if you want something more complex, but whether that's just a sound check or that's just good enough, I like it.
Yeah, you wanted to cover some of the energy device things. You're talking about Orgone devices you were experimenting with. Yeah, talk about that and then get back to a song after that.
Yeah, it's cool that we finally figured out how to make the guitar work with it. That's without any kind of, you know, I'm not plugged into anything. It's just my little acoustic. So, in Knoxville, Cyrus Moore, and he's fine with being shared. He's the Oregon guy that I know. I think I talked about this a little bit earlier. There was this little girl I met at the gun show in Knoxville, and she sold herbs, different herbs and stuff like that. And I guess they have a website now. I would have to look it up, but they're selling Orgone devices, Cloudbusters, stuff like that. And he told me more about it than what I knew, but I started, you know, making my own sword devices, the pyramids and stuff like that. I was going to start selling them at the local setups. It's not always like a flea market. Sometimes on the weekends, people just set up in certain spots around here, and you could sell birdhouses or canes or whatever. For the most part, the pyramid shape of the Orgones, like I was talking about earlier, that has a healing effect, but on my water jug, what I do to make H2O3, the structured water, I have a black light shining on it, and I have the shungite on top of it, a pyramid, different crystals, just all my favorite, some of them, crystals around it. And plus you can, before you put it on there, you can do the whole vortex, and you can speak your intention into it, gratitude, positive intentions, and such to make the water structured. But for the most part, I just wear, there's a magnetic bracelet that's made of obsidian with magnets on it, with the Eye of Horus and Onyx on it. I lost my train of thought. And then I wear a silver bracelet up against that, so it's kind of like obsidian and silver. A lot of my sort of shungite, it's not glued to my silver. I just have silver contacting it. I'm not sure if that works the same, but I've not bought a lot from the website. I've just made my own, plus what I've got from the website too.
Any positive results from the, what do you call it, orgon usages? Any particular favorites?
So I will say, out of all the crystals, fossils, everything I got, I mean, everything has its own sort of signature. But the shungite is the most powerful and has its own special properties. The organite itself, I would say the charge isn't as strong. I mean, it does work though. It has maybe like a 60% effectiveness compared to shungite, but also a different use case depending on what you're using it for. The shungite is just like an overall enhancement for whatever you're working with, but the organite itself, I guess, is like to block EMFs. Well, the shungite does that too. I've not particularly worked with cloud busters and things like that. I don't pay much attention to that sort of thing. The sky during the day, the sun's usually shining above my house. So I guess with all my crystals and whatever I've got going on, I don't really need anything particularly like that.
Okay. Anybody else want to add anything on this topic? And then we can move on to the next.
That's awesome. You got a cloud buster going, Mark. Did you plant that in the ground somewhere near you, or is it inside somewhere?
Yeah, that was back in, I bought in, it was like $1,200 or something, back in 2021. No, one of the guest show guests back then, she also a guest on the show, like frequently at the time, went to her house up in like northeast of Sacramento, and then just planted it in her backyard because like couldn't find anywhere to place it here. And she's been a pretty good, you know, as far as taking care of it and nice. Adding some other things to it. So soon Does after that, work? Then the weather is pretty much stabilized up here in Northern California. Can't say the same for Southern. I mean, the radius of influence is a few hundred miles, maybe 400 or something. I know that sounds pretty unbelievable, but cloudbusters do have a history. People can look it up and then further enhance with shungite and the other things that Walt Silva did. CosmicReality.com or .net has the archives. People can dig in there.
That's really cool. I'll have to put one up here from Cyrus in Knoxville.
Yeah, I don't know if Walt is still making those things, but he does have a website.
Well, My buddy Cyrus makes them.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could take care of those chemtrails and any of the bad crap they're putting out there.
He did post the results. So there was a 5G tower, and he put his Cloudbuster out there, and there was pigeons nesting on it. So that's something.
It's more than a something. That's good. Awesome. Okay, next topic. Kayla's wanted to get into some health approaches. I know before and after shows over the past weeks, we've talked about different kinds of fasts, dietary habits. One of the fasts I did, I told them I lost pretty much 4 pounds over, like within a day. I would do 24-hour fast or during the day, try to drink close to a gallon of water, of distilled water, and then have like a 10-ounce steak at night, and then drop 4 pounds the next day. So I do that once a week. It could be even once every 6 days, so you could get that kind of result. The problem is keeping the weight off is the thing. So it's still a matter of calibration for me, but Kalos, did you want to get into that?
Yeah, I wanted to. Lately, I've been fasting for probably about 48 hours, a couple days a week. So for instance, Monday and Tuesday, I won't consume anything. The last thing I'll eat will be Sunday night, which is usually a steak or some type of meat. Low carb, very low carb. I drink enough beer, I think. And that was another thing too that I began to institute was if I was drinking anything, if I was having any type of beer or liquor or anything, I wouldn't consume carbs. I wouldn't eat any carbs at all. And that seems to help significantly. But Monday, Tuesday, I tend to not eat at all. And then for the rest of the week, it's just once a night. It's at the end of the night. I eat, you know, a steak or we're doing ribs tonight. Which leftovers from yesterday, we made two giant racks of ribs and just couldn't finish them all. So like, that's what we're doing tonight, and that's basically been my approach. Just trying to get more active. I've become lazy since I've retired, so I put on some weight, and the body doesn't like it, and so it's time to lose it. And so, just moving around first thing in the morning when I wake up, taking care of chores and stuff like that. Leaving the phone off until I get everything I need to get done in the morning as far as chores and stuff like that. And just trying to stay focused on what needs to get done and doing it. And as far as food is concerned, it's 48 hour fast. And then for the rest of the week, it's 24 hours, basically just eating once a night. And so I've been steadily shedding the pounds, thankfully, and feeling a lot better and moving around a lot better. But I did notice there was an adjustment period with it. A lot of the fasting stuff is psychological. And so it's once you get used to being able to go, yeah, no, I'm not going to, those Ritz crackers look really, really good. You know, it becomes easier to say no to it and stick with the fast over time. It's just, it's like a skill that has to be learned. And so, but psychologically I feel great. Like once you get a lot of the gunk out with these fasts, I noticed I started feeling a lot better psychologically. And I think that comes down to the fact that I was moving significantly better. And it's those two things go hand in hand, I think. So, The 48 hour thing once a week, that's a bit aggressive. I would say maybe most people could probably do something like that, maybe once a month or once every 3 months or something like that. I'm just aggressively trying to get back down to my ideal weight because, like I said, I got, since I retired, I've just become a couch potato. And, it's kind of easy, especially during the winter because there's not much to do outside. Out here, it's always raining, and thankfully we've had quite a good stretch of nice weather this winter. So getting out and moving has been a little bit easier, thankfully. But I do normally my normal protocol in the morning is just a quick 30-minute full body dumbbell workout, which is pretty easy. It's nothing exciting. It's nothing, you know, sexy. It's just a very basic, you know, 4 or 5 compound movements for a certain amount of reps every day. And that took some fine tuning to figure out exactly what worked and what didn't, because I'm one of those that doesn't recover very well from training sessions. And so I have to put a lot of emphasis on recovery. And when I noticed, when I started training at such a high frequency like this, I had to really make smart choices as far as what I was eating and when and stuff like that, which really, really seemed to help. But finding the sweet spot as far as, you know, training intensity, volume, and frequency took some practice. But yeah, just basic, you know, full body, you know, compound movements, and doing them for, you know, 30 to 50 reps per movement. And you know, maybe if I'm feeling great, you take one of those exercises to failure or technical failure or close to it. So that's basically what I've been up to. And I'm looking to get back, you know, pick up the dumbbells again and start using those. Because like I said, it's been just pure couch potato-ness since I quit working. So the but yeah, that's what I've been after. And we've been doing a lot of carnivore here, just straight meat, not a whole lot of carbs. If we do eat carbs, it's very, very minimal. And that seems to help a lot. I know the missus has migraines quite frequently, and she seems to get them a lot less since we started doing this. So it's yeah, there's so many benefits to it, I think, with as far as just eating meat. You know, the whole carnivore thing is pretty remarkable in my opinion. And you don't have to go full on carnivore. You know, we do, like I said, we do very, very minimal carbs. But it's yeah, it works for us really, really well, and I highly recommend it. And I was curious as to what anybody else was doing. I know Sangi's big on the carnivore thing himself. So I was curious if you're still doing that, or if you kind of phase that through cycles. You know, one cycle, you know, you'll focus on something else and then you'll go back to it at another one. How do you typically work that into your lifestyle?
I've been on an animal-based diet since 2018, and I don't see that ever changing. I feel too good with this, and it's been a big evolution in my thinking and kind of a departure in some ways from where I came from. I came actually did a lot of work in the supplement industry, both in sales and marketing, as well as you know, exposure to behind the scenes manufacturing. My health approach, you know, 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, you know, was very similar to kind of what you see a lot of biohackers nowadays doing. You know, guys like Ray Kurzweil, who take like 150 supplements a day. I was somewhere in there where I was taking like 80 to 100 supplements a day trying to biohack. And really, you know, that kind of mechanistic knowledge of like people like Rhonda Patrick or those kinds of like people who are spitting out all this kind of stuff. You know, that's kind of the school of thought I came to this from. And so in some ways it's been a big departure for me because I don't take any supplements at all anymore. And when I really understood kind of nose to tail eating with my kind of mechanistic biohacking knowledge that I had, when you go and you look at what are the supplements that are there that are shown to extend life, the vast majority of them are amino acids, and most of those can be found in abundance in animal foods, especially if you eat nose to tail, meaning all the offal and organ meats. And fat is really, I think, the thing that people are missing with carnivore diets. People are usually not consuming enough fat, and so they may not see the full benefit. Or if they're not excluding dairy, they may not see the full benefit. Or if they're not including organs, they may not see the full benefit. If they're including other foods, still they may not see the full benefit. But when you really dial those things in, really dial your macros in so that you're actually in ketosis. And then if you do eat any plants, just make sure they're Paleolithic. And it's not so much that it doesn't kick you out of ketosis. And when people do that, just beautifully, all their health problems go away, like every single time, you know, and chronic disease is just not, it's not natural. It's our birthright to be healthy. And that's what's normal. That's what you see in nature across all animal species. It's really only us and our pets that have chronic health conditions. Even animals in a zoo don't. And so to me, that's how I came from this, you know, kind of through my own pain and my family as well suffering. At a certain point, I didn't want to outsource my health to any other authority, and I really wanted to figure out for myself what was going to work. And it's really worked for me, but I haven't seen anyone it hasn't worked for. There's a lot of psychological issues to get over in terms of the way we've all been raised to eat, and carbs and sugar are very addictive. You know, nature created sugar as a way to spread its seed. So it's kind of a way of hijacking us. It's a drug that tricks us that, you know, people crave uncontrollably. And it's, to me, the most pernicious because people don't see it as a drug, but it damages you, you know, damages your brain the way like methamphetamine does, and it damages your body the way like smoking does. And it's really bad. And I know it's very enjoyable, but creates a lot of problems, a lot of mental health disorders are a result of the amount of carbs and sugar that people eat, and it keeps them on a roller coaster, an emotional roller coaster. I avoid all sweet tastes, all fruit. I don't eat honey. I don't, you know, I'm very strict in a way, but I really enjoy what I'm doing because I feel really good doing it. And I've just evolved into what looks good to me and tastes good to me. So most stuff that people eat, it just doesn't even, my brain doesn't really process it as food anymore because it's, it isn't food. It's not meant for human consumption, but yeah.
I do the same, dude. Keto and no sugar. I mean, the sweetest thing I eat is protein powder, and it has like one carb in it.
Yeah, I think it's out there at this point. I think people have an awareness that keeping your carbohydrates down is going to improve your health. I think it's very testable, very easily testable. But if you just scoop away all the carbs and you don't replace it with fat, you know, like protein's not an energy source. So if you're not eating enough fat and you've taken away all your carbs, you're going to, you know, start having energy problems, electrolyte issues, those kinds of things. It's going to make it hard and not really sustainable for you. But in our culture, they trim away all the fat when you go to the butcher. All that gets trimmed off, yeah. And they want to sell it back to you. Yeah, in different
That's
forms.
That's ridiculous. I want my fat. Don't take my fat out of there.
Yeah, and it's...
I want mine.
We were all the way we were all raised to fear it too.
When it's 90s, like fat will make you fat. Like,
yeah. People think heart disease, all of that stuff, and it's just not the way our body works.
There's amazing, there's been some pretty interesting research that's come out regarding animal fat and brain health.
Yeah.
And who would have thought that, you know, one of the organs in your the most prominent organs in your body is mostly comprised of fat. When you take it away, you know, there tends to be issues. So they're finding a really strong correlation between high animal fat consumption and brain longevity as far as warding off things like dementia. And
to me, the nail in the coffin is very reliably anyone who tests it, their chronic health conditions go away. And it's also the only diet that has been shown to not rot your teeth and to not cause leaky gut. And so most people, they, you know, they wouldn't be able to sustain the diet they're on for even a month without starting to get cavities. So to me, those are very clear, hard lines of science that are verifiable and testable that anyone can experience and see for themselves. That, you know, ancient man did not have a toothbrush and they didn't have cavities either. And this is why. And also leaky gut, you know, that's where issues start off in the gut and then turn into a lot of other really nasty health conditions. When the gut becomes permeable, molecules, all kinds of compounds, end up in the bloodstream. The gut's supposed to be selectively permeable, letting in nutrients, keeping out toxins. But when we eat foods that break down the gut barrier, cause leaky gut, a lot of supplements can do this as well. A lot of supplements are actually designed and engineered to do this. Any supplement that markets itself as getting past some kind of like blood-brain barrier or any of those things, that's really not good. You don't want to break down these barriers that all of the different membranes and barriers that you have in your body, that they're there for a reason and to protect you. And so a lot of this, when you look at supplements and they have a list of other ingredients, the rice powders and these kinds of things, the black pepper extract, all of that is to try to break down your gut barrier so that these things get into your bloodstream more. Well, when these active compounds get into your bloodstream, your body recognizes it as a foreign pathogen and has an autoimmune response. So when you look at the literally now hundreds of autoimmune diseases that people have, and they're literally every year like adding maybe 100 more to the list, this is where this is coming from. It's the body's not attacking itself. The body is defending itself from these foreign, whether it's polysaccharides or whatever compounds are there in the bloodstream. It's ending up in the tissues and then the immune system's attacking the bloodstream. If you really look at all chronic conditions, they all have some autoimmune component. And so whether it's cancer or multiple sclerosis, there's every single chronic disease has a basis in mostly diet. It's not the only environmental factor, but it's over 90% of it. Over 90% of all chronic disease is three factors: overconsumption of carbohydrates, foods which increase intestinal permeability or leaky gut, and then all of the chemicals, artificial ingredients, preservatives. Those are the three main driving factors, and they're all dietary. So if you reduce your carbohydrates, you don't eat foods that cause leaky gut, things like nightshades, dairy can do it as well. There's a lot of things that really anything beyond meat, fat, and organs, if you eat more than a certain amount, will automatically cause leaky gut. So people can only tolerate maybe 20 to 30% Paleolithic plant food in their diet before they begin to experience leaky gut. All these factors combined, it's just, plus all of the anthropological evidence we have, humans are carnivores. It's just not widely accepted.
Right. No, absolutely. And the discussion with the supplements is something that as of maybe a few years ago, I was relatively new to, because I used to use a lot of different supplements as far as, you know, my training recovery and stuff like that. And I began to look into just how the stuff is usually made. And that was enough to turn me off to a lot of it. especially with like multivitamins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of these companies, you know, are extracting some of these quote unquote nutrients from pure waste, yeah. from pure sludge.
Absolutely. And yeah. The devil's in the details. And that's
very, very eye opening.
Yeah. I mean, so for example, just take any vitamin. When they extract it, they're not like, if you're going to go get vitamin D, they're not taking it from a high quality source like fish. They're getting it from like a cheap manufacturing source like sheep's wool, lanolin, and then they're using a chemical extraction process to put that into a pill. So on paper, your vitamin D is low. Yeah, you need to get that up. But is that the way to go about it? And is that helpful? And so
there was some interesting stuff with vitamin D, especially D3, I think it was. I can't pronounce the word at the moment. But a couple of amateur sleuths did some digging as far as the compound that they market as D3. And I don't know if anyone remembers the whole rat poison conversation and how they attempted to poo-poo that as being, well, it's a matter of dosage and yada, yada, yada. But if you investigate it yourself, the way this is labeled by regulatory agencies, they themselves say this is not fit for consumption. This is poisonous. And they have all the sort of bureaucratic markers for it. And anyone can see it. Anyone can look it up and go, yeah, maybe I shouldn't take this, you know, and because they say not to. But it's in everything. It's in every vitamin practically on the market. And so it's, it's just one of those eye-opening things. I was like, oh, wow, this is not probably something I want to take. And not to mention, you know, a lot of these vitamins are just coated in seed oils. So it's like what, you know, it seems double to be, whammy. It's like, it's like there's really very little benefit into taking it. And I even took it so far because I used to take leucine a lot, mm-hmm. especially when I was trying to drop weight and fasting while training because of its sort of not only for its muscle boost, you know, its muscle building capabilities, but it was also very anti-catabolic. And so it was shown that if you take leucine, you don't lose as much muscle when you're not training. And so I began to look into how some of this stuff is processed and made. And I was kind of like, oh, wow, like the stuff that you can find, you know, on Amazon or, you know, at your local GNC is it's crap. Like you're literally, it's such low quality. It's kind of one of those decisions one has to make. It's like, well, do you want to put this into your body or not? And I decided to pretty much just walk away from a lot of it.
Yeah.
And there are a couple I take for specific purposes, but you know, like for instance, I take iodine when I'm sick. If I get a cold or something, I put a couple of drops of iodine in my water in the morning, and I'll take a mineral supplement at night. And as far as that goes, I take and that seems to work, to be honest. The enhancement of the minerals, I guess, and the iodine seem to work really well in clearing my cold, for example. And the other one is glycine. I take glycine at night, most nights, to basically help me settle down and help me sleep and to get into a good sleep pattern. And that seems to work really, really well. But that's about it. I mean, I don't personally recommend vitamins or, you know, a lot of the protein supplements suffer from the same problem or not the same problem, but similar issues. So it's, now you're dealing with artificial sweeteners and all that stuff that, you know, that's not really fit for consumption. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I was kind of done with all that.
Oh, no, yeah. I don't have much more to say about that. It's more just, I think it, you know, single nutrients in isolation are never the solution for whatever your problem might be. So you might, you know, something I learned from Paleo Medicina, you know, Sophia Clemens out there, who is the doctor who runs that, you know, she was saying, like, you know, you can, maybe you have muscle cramps, so you take some magnesium, and now your muscle cramps go away. But if you focus on a nutrient in isolation like that, you're not getting a full value diet. In other words, you might now solve your magnesium depletion, but I guarantee you there are 50 other things that are also depleted if that is happening. And then when you take it in isolation, now something else goes out of balance.
And it's a matter of synthesis. It's a matter of overall synthesis because all these nutrients.
Yeah. And so what she, you know, recommends to patients is that your symptoms are feedback, and it's feedback that something is not complete in your diet. So a lot of, you know, multivitamin, electrolytes, even iodine, all of that you get in abundance and more than you can actually take in a supplement with something like beef liver. So all the micronutrient values, which is really what people are focused on and I think kind of get lost about, is covered if you just include maybe even an ounce of fresh liver a day, which is maybe like a bite or two. It can be very minimal, but that more than covers all your needs. But besides a handful of plant compounds, something maybe like resveratrol, which has drawbacks anyways, you're going to deplete your copper with that. Pretty much everything you'd see on a longevity biohacker shelf is mostly all amino acids. And that all just comes from, you know, eat a steak. You know, it's going to be much more complete and in the form that your body needs. Anyways, that's been my, you know, departure away from supplements and the reasons why, because if I start to have muscle cramps, to me, that's an indication I'm not eating enough liver. And so rather than take electrolytes and get rid of my muscle cramps, and now maybe I'm not paying attention to all the other things that I'm probably deficient in, like vitamin D or B vitamins or other things that I can get rid of my muscle cramps, but now I'm just covering up a symptom without actually addressing all of the other holes in my diet. And yeah.
And creating another one further down the road.
Possibly creating another one, because if you study anything, they all compete. You know, the glucose, vitamin C receptors are the same, and those compete. The if you take more potassium, you're not going to be able to. You have to work with nature, not against it, in that way. And I think for people who aren't willing to make lifestyle changes, then. And that's the best that they can do. They're not willing to try carnivore. I think that, but there's a lot of people, and maybe you, if someone doesn't have health problems, it's okay. But there are people who do carnivore and they're worried that they're not getting everything. They stay on the supplements. Their symptoms might not go away because they're maintaining leaky gut and their inflammation. So it can be a hindrance for people. It doesn't mean there's never a time to supplement or that there's no good use for it. But I think people are not really understanding. They're kind of being sold a lot of stuff that isn't actually good for them.
Snake oil. And yeah, like I said, I think supplementation is great in certain use cases for specific things. And yeah. It's not to be, I don't use them. I only use one as a regular type of thing just because I find it helpful. And but beyond that, no, I don't. I quit taking vitamins. I quit taking the mineral supplements at night. It's just if I'm getting a cold or if I'm sick, you know, I don't eat a lot of liver. In fact, there's I just do not like it. And so the I could imagine that there's probably areas that I need to work on. And I mean,
something about liver that I do, because I like pates, but I don't really enjoy like fried beef liver, kind of, you know, pan fried liver. I don't particularly enjoy. I'll keep liver frozen in my freezer, and I'll take little bits out and I'll thaw it to where it's like popsicle consistency and you can kind of cut into it, and then I'll just cut up a bunch of pieces and swallow it like a pill. And that's my kind of daily liver that I use to stay on top of all of that.
That's fascinating.
It's pretty easy. It's not, you barely taste it going down, and it's gives me a lot of energy and a mood boost, and definitely raises my vitamin D and everything else I would really need. Definitely the most nutrient dense food. If you look at it on paper, it's like 100 to 1, you know, value to other things that are still very nutrient dense, but it just disseminates every other food. And if you can find a good healthy source that's grass fed and finished, it helps with the taste and how it's going to make you feel.
Interesting. And as far as the liver consumption aspect of it, I know some detractors out there like to say that, you know, this is an organ that processes waste primarily. Its primary function is to filter waste. And that by itself is an
interesting. Really filter the fat. Toxins are stored in the fat, and the liver breaks down molecules, but they're not stored in the liver. If there's toxicity in the animal, it's going to be stored in the fat. You don't want to eat an unhealthy animal, but if you're eating a healthy animal, there's really no issue with liver. I mean, for me, I'll eat commercial beef, but not commercial liver. You know, liver I want to be grass fed and finished, but I would eat grain, factory farm cow. I'll eat the fat and the meat of that, and don't have particular concerns with toxicity. It's still better, less toxic than anything else in the grocery store. So glyphosate too, talking about that, animal foods by far contain the least amount of glyphosate, microplastics, all of that. Cows are just amazing. Ruminants are amazing at getting rid of toxins and turning waste into just, you know, it's like a goat can eat a tin can and you can go eat that goat and it's safe. That's amazing, you know. I don't have a whole lot of concerns about toxicity eating an animal-based diet. It's you should be reducing your toxic load over 90% from what you'd get in a mixed diet. But I think it's the healthiest food.
Excellent. Yeah, no, good to know. I mean, I try to, the maxims that I try to live by is, you know, be mindful of what you ingest. If you're going, you know, what foods you eat, and if you're going to have a vice or two, you have to take something else away. And so, you know, you can't just do everything all the time and expect, you know, that you're not going to run into problems. And so that's my big thing. And that the liver discussion is fascinating to me because I've been looking into it. I've just never liked the taste or anything of it. So I've just kind of avoided it. And so that to me, like, that's basically nature's multivitamin. And so,
yeah, I mean, that's the taste is actually the vitamins. If you go suck on a multivitamin, it kind of tastes like liver. Liver has that metallic-y taste, almost like you put a penny in your mouth, and those are all the minerals. Yes. Those are all the minerals. And you know, ancient tribes, when they would go hunt, the liver was the first thing that they would consume, usually on site. Organs don't last as long as you know, the muscle skeletal meat. They're much harder to preserve, so they're usually consumed right away. And they would usually, the hunters would all take a bite, I'll take a bite out of the heart, I'll eat the liver, and then they would bring some back for the women, the children, pregnant women, elderly. Those were people who got extra liver and heart and brain, bone marrow. Those were all really prized, the most prized food. There's actually tribes that believe that the liver contained the soul of individuals and would eat that as part of, like, you know, their belief in animation and spiritism was that the life force was coming from the liver.
That's fascinating. That's a fascinating point, because a lot of the lore and mythology always fixates on the heart. And so it's always seemed to me like a little misdirect, I guess. But yeah, that's a fascinating aspect of it, with the animism and the liver. It's we're constantly taught the opposite, that it's the heart, that's where it all lies. And so
toughen you up. I know it's kind of like, you know, people make fun of this Liver King dude and stuff, and yeah, that's kind of a joke, but like, it really does toughen you up, man. You go eat some raw heart, and just the act of doing that, it mentally toughens you up, and it's physically good for you, and it's kind of feels like the equivalent of a workout in some ways, where you're definitely making yourself more fierce. That's been my impression of it. I noticed my hormones, my energy, my libido, my stamina, everything, mental states, all of that really, you know, turns up everything.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. And
also the corresponding organ, if you have a particular issue, if you have heart issues, you should be eating heart. If you have liver issues, you should be eating liver. If you have brain issues, you should be eating brain or bone marrow. Those two are equivalent. And you will see those particular peptides actually travel to those places in the body. They've done studies of that, both animal and human, that when you consume the corresponding organ, that the peptides and specific nutrients of that organ will travel to that place in your body. So things like eating thymus is very good for your immune system, or spleen is very good for your immune system. You know, pancreas would be very good for blood sugar regulation. So, offal can.
What about bone broth?
Bone broth can be very useful for people. That's really good for people's gut, healing people's gut, the gut lining. I love it too. I drink that a lot. Actually for the glandulars, genitalia of the corresponding sex, so men eating bull testicle or women eating fallopian tube ovaries, those things have been shown as well. Men who eat bull testicle, their testosterone can go up quite a bit. And some people just supplement with that because, you know, these things are all take a little bit of bravery if you're not accustomed to that kind of food or eating. And so there's ways you can desiccate it and put it in a pill and get not quite the amount of boost or benefit, but some.
Yeah, I won't be doing that.
Yeah. But all these things for guys who are like really suffering in that area, that's a much better way than maybe going on medication in terms of long-term health and what that might look like for them, you know. So maybe they're doing that, and maybe they're sunning their balls, or maybe they're, you know, there's all these things that people do to, you know, heal themselves. And some of it is a little weird or out there, but if it works, you know, I think it's better than getting chopped up.
Is like chicken liver just as effective as beef?
No, and it's really the diet should be based on four-legged animals, ruminants in particular. The bigger the animal, the more nutritious, and it should be based on red meat.
Oh, yeah.
Now, pork is in the gray area. It's a four-legged animal, but it's a monogastric, so it's really important how that animal's raised. The pork, if it's not treated right, fed corn and soy, it's gonna make a junky product that might cause some people to not feel good. It's not the fault of the breed, it's how it's being raised. So if you get like Hungarian pork, or if you get like wild boar, or if you get these things that are pastured, you know, pork, maybe you want to be more selective about chicken and fish, more selective about wild caught, pasture raised. These are all monogastric, so whatever we feed them is going to end up in the flesh. Ruminants are much more forgiving. A goat, a cow, bison, venison, elk, anything with the multi-chambered stomachs and red meat, much more nutritious, and the toxicity is going to really, you know, we feed cows things that are not edible to any other animal, and they produce nutritious, healthy meat that is completely non-toxic. So it's grass-fed will be more nutritious, but I don't look at like factory farm beef as being like poison. You know, I wouldn't eat offal from factory farm beef, but I'd eat fat or muscle meat, and not think twice.
Excellent. Oh, fantastic. Very, very, very worthwhile information. And
just the weird stuff I've seen too. I mean, people talking about lean muscle mass. I know a quadriplegic who's put 3 inches of lean muscle mass on his legs with carnivore diet. He's a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. There's things that are just too strong. I think people, some of the reversals of health conditions, people at death's door, and they're totally like, now they're glowing. You get enough stories out there like that, I think it's going to change things for sure.
Yeah, and I don't doubt it. And for those that are interested in adopting this type of thing, I would take it slowly, you know, one step at a time with everything, with any type of regimen, as far as health goes. Take it in stages, take it slowly. And I can imagine the sort of the benefit of such a diet with something like zone two work, you know, quote unquote, the just walking for a half hour to an hour a day would probably have amazing physiological benefits. And that's the other aspect of things that I know a lot of people like to get on the whole high intensity interval training stuff, and which is fine, you know, here and there. I used to do it maybe once a week, but at the very most of my conditioning was my cardiovascular conditioning was all in zone two, and improving my performance in zone two was to me one of the biggest indicators of how I felt throughout the week. And so the better I got at just, you know, getting better at zone two work, the better I felt. And for those, one of the biggest pitfalls that most people have is, you know, they incorporate a lot of high intensity stuff all the time. And so now their hormones are getting out of whack. And so I've always found, and also too, there's quite a few studies that exist out there that show that, you know, the health impacts of zone two, you know, just walking, just very rather, you know, light to moderate exercise, and has amazing benefits for the heart. And so it doesn't have to be, you know, hard charging all the time. You don't have to, you know, become the world's, you don't have to become the next Usain Bolt, you know, performance wise, you know, to reap serious health benefits. And so that was the other thing I wanted to toss in there as far as the health discussion was, you know, zone two, just getting better at that has amazing, amazing benefits, just not only with your body, but also with the mind. And so I would imagine coupling that with something like carnivore would have, I mean, just that seems to be ideal in every sense.
I accidentally got cut off somehow. But
no, you guys are good. I want to add at least my, we did do on the Shanghai show a little bit of this when we had three of you guys several months ago. But the thing I learned about D, there's so many different kinds of vitamin D, little D3, more than around a couple dozen. So how do you isolate the one that you need? I'm more from the bioquantum physics angle, not necessarily Dr. Jack Cruz, but his students who shed the weight, done the morning sunrise and morning sunlight that controls the leptin hormones, and people have been losing weight, and they've already done comparisons of people eating at night versus in the morning, with women at least in this study, and people who ate in the morning lost more weight. Now that's case by case basis, obviously, for people who benefited different ways. I'm animal based too, but the thing to be more concerned in winter is melatonin, not so much D3. And you can also increase the body's endogenous creation of the necessary D vitamins through copper intake. And I do, I think it's called copper sulfate. I did the Jason Hommel protocol, and I think we covered that at the Shungite Show with Kevin Smith when you guys were on too. And I feel pretty good about it, considering that even the glyphosate in the air and a bunch of other minerals do deplete your copper, which is required for elimination of heavy metals, parasites, and powering up the mitochondria. So look up Jason Hommel. He has a book, done a bunch of podcast interviews. And yeah, I think since we're over the 2-hour mark, Sanji's got to leave soon. Any last, Link, we could go on to the other stuff, or Kalius, but if Sanji needs to go, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I'm good. I think that a good discussion. I think that's a good way to end it.
Yeah, it was good talking with you guys.
Yeah, glad we could get the round table going. And any kind of updates you guys want to have on, playing music, any single, just let us know. We'll have you back on.
Oh, yeah.
Any discoveries?
And
yeah, Link, any last comments?
I was going to say, make sure you guys know how to fix that music issue. You click the three dots at the bottom. Well, I'm on a phone. So you go to settings, audio, and it says noise removal. That's the default. Or original sound for musicians. And that'll make it where your microphone isn't filtered through for, you know, noise cancellation or whatever. I just wanted to point that out for you so that we know how to fix that. And other people.
Yeah, great. Thank you. 17th, we have a new moon and an eclipse. So get your intentions set for that day. I think it's a Tuesday next week. And it's all within the new moon phase, first 3 days. And then the 3 days before and after that are also pretty significant for resonance. Anything else, guys? And then we'll close it out.
Oh, I'll say... I felt like crazy amounts of energy from just certain parts. Like when we started, when I said I felt something, I meant the energy, not emotionally. But I felt, you know, tons of flow. And just like our first podcast, it opens up a lot for me, especially with the Shungite partnered with it. Just the exchange of different ideas. I'm completely aligned with Sanji, the keto. Like, I've been doing that since 2018. I mean, on and off. I don't always do keto, but I wanted to say I saw that wheat can, as soon as you eat it, cut into your stomach lining, or it gets into your blood barrier, whatever. I'm not sure the specifics of it, but I do prefer fat, and everybody has their own diet. That's all I had to say about it.
Awesome. And that's it, guys. No last words. Or
maybe with those instructions Link gave, maybe you guys can hear this gong.
Yeah, did you fix your audio?
Give a try.
Yeah, I did something already.
Let's hear it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it, dude. I want one of those. That's beautiful.
And shall we conclude the ceremony? Sanji, you'll take us out.
the resonance will last quite a bit, but don't know if that came through.
So it is done, right?
I got a lot of those kind of ritual toys, so yeah, be fun to share that at some point with you guys when I'm working on.
Have you tried putting a shungite on that with getting a deeper root?
I have not on that, but I do on my amps, and I have worked with shungite in terms of placing that on in terms of projection and using that with singing bowls and different tuning forks and different things. Don't know that it changes the sound much, but it definitely adds the shungite energy, rides the sound waves so you can feel it in the air moving. But
never thought of that.
There's kind of like using some cool pedals and frequencies to take something like a gong and then pass it through to make it weird and electronic and spooky sounding, and a lot of ideas. So
that's a good teaser for your upcoming songs. Don't give away the secrets.
Yeah, no, it's coming. It's coming through. It'll be good to share with everyone soon.
Okay, great. Let's conclude this. Thank you, guys. Have a great upcoming weekend. Friday the 13th, Valentine's and New Moon. All the other celebrations you want to do. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone. It was a pleasure.
Dream well, everybody.
Same. Cheers.
Have a great one.
You have been listening to Awake vs. Aware, a production of CosmicReality.com. Thank you for listening.